This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Celebrate 100 years of high-flying dunks, 100 years of show-stopping moves, and 100 years of changing the game. Bring the whole family and be part of the legacy. This game is once in a century. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour. This isn't just a game, it's a once-in-a-generation event. The Harlem Globetrotters 100-year tour. Be there at Schottenstein Center on December 27th. Go to harlemglobetrotters.com for your tickets to the 100-year tour.
Hey, y'all. Welcome back. I'm Chris Dokia. Today, I want to share my testimony, my real story of faith. Not the polished version, but more or less the messy, broken, confusing path that I guess God used, well, I know God used to bring me to where I am today. Now, I believe our stories matter. My story isn't any more special than anyone else's, but I believe testimonies are just about what we've been through. They're about what God has done, and for me, my testimony is truly the beginning of my life. So as many of you might know, or I've spoken about it in previous episodes, I grew up in the United Kingdom, and I grew up in a Hindu household. My family raised me with strong values, discipline, respect, family, like loyalty, hard work. I'll never dismiss that those principles and those values is what shaped me for who I am today. But here's the truth. My family, you know, we didn't go to temple very often, maybe on a holiday here or there, but not consistently. No one stopped to break it down for me, and because of that, I didn't have much of a faith structure. I grew up in a school where it was a Christian public school, so then I had more confusion. I had no rhythm of worship, no constant reminder of something that was bigger than myself. Now, I had an incredible upbringing, but spiritually, that was my missing link. I saw other kids my age who had structure. They went to church on Sundays with their families. They belonged to youth groups or daily prayers with their families, and I kind of wondered. I was like, look, where do I fit in? What do I actually believe? So that confusion followed me into adulthood, right? It wasn't until, let's see, I guess I was, you know, when I got into my late 20s, early 30s, I'll be real, I lived a sinful life up until that point. I surrounded myself with bad influences. I went places where I shouldn't probably have gone, got into trouble, and did things I wasn't proud of. And I had people around me who claimed to be friends, but, you know, they had their own lives selfishly. They were, you know, consumed with their good tidings and weren't rooting for me. They were sort of pulling me down, feeding the worst parts of me, right? Not the best. And for a while, for a long time, actually, I let it happen. But here's the thing. Here's the thing about living in the darkness. Eventually, it's going to swallow you whole. And I hit a point in my life where I couldn't ignore it anymore. You know, the womanizing and just the bad things that I was just getting into. I couldn't ignore it. I couldn't justify hitting rock bottom all the time as frequently as I was. So that's when sobriety became my starting point. And you don't have to have, you know, a problem to hop onto this thing, but sobriety for me wasn't about quitting something destructive. It was about cutting ties with bad actors who were dragging me down. It was about stripping away the noise and asking myself, Krish, who am I? Who am I really? What am I living for? And then in that quiet, you know, while in that reflection, God met me. And that was the beginning of my faith journey, right? So here's where, I guess, God's And I always say guess. I mean, I know God's extraordinary plan gets wild for me. So amidst this middle of this messy transformation, right, in the middle of my searching, and I was already sober at this point, maybe 2.5, 3 years, I met my wife. And what is an eye-opener is I didn't meet my wife in some ordinary way, right, like on Instagram or at a coffee shop. I met her on top of a mountain, you guys, right? Like, if you haven't heard the story, I'll do a whole episode on it. But I met my wife on top of a mountain. And we were both in this season of, you know, I was climbing and striving and searching, and she was there and trying to do something. And then on that mountain, God intersects our paths. Looking back, it was more than coincidence than it was more divine alignment. She wasn't just another person that I met. She became the anchor. She is the anchor in my life, the one who reminded me and continues to remind me of grace, patience, and unconditional love. It blows my mind that God used my broken journey to bring me to her. Okay, that's not an accident. It's that's a love story only God can write. The reason why we're on top of the mountain, let's get to that, and I'll do again a whole episode on this, but because it's important, it's part of my life, and it's actually amazing. But God opened another door for me that year, or the year prior, one that I never saw coming. So through community, through people that I met along the way, at post-sobriety, I got involved with childhood cancer awareness, and I have some tattoos that kind of align with the entire story, and I'll have some pictures and things like that. But I started climbing Stone Mountain in Georgia, if you're familiar with it, and it turned into a movement, and I ran races, and I raised money, and all to create awareness. And it wasn't about the events or the fundraisers or the social media or the notoriety or the popularity or the television and news interviews. It gave me a perspective. It reminded me how fragile life is, how much faith and family matter, and how much impact one life can have on another. It wasn't easy. I worked a full-time job at the time. There were moments of heartbreak. I went to so many funerals in the span of like 10 months for kids that were fighting cancer. Seeing kids and families go through things no one should have to. But in the middle of all this, there was also a purpose aligned with this as well. Right? I realized then and understand now that God doesn't waste our suffering either. And again, this is going to be a whole episode, but he redeems it. He uses it. And childhood cancer awareness became one of those ways that God turned my story outward from self-destruction to service. Now, let's talk about God's extraordinary plan. You know, looking back 10, 12, 13 years, I've been sober for 13 years now, here's what I see. I grew up with good values, but no real faith structure. Okay, and that's really it. And I stumbled through sin, bad decisions, and bad influences. It was, you know, a tough time, and tough to look back as well, I have to say, right? But ultimately, sobriety cracked me open and forced me to search. Now, I didn't decide I was going to be a Christian 13 years ago on a specific day. I actually was baptized with my wife not only maybe 4 years ago. But God's grace showed up on a mountain in the form of my wife. And purpose came alive through serving others in pediatric cancer awareness, right? Now that's God's plan. It's not clean. It's not easy. But I have to say it is pretty extraordinary. It really is. You know, I truly believe that, you know, through my faith, through your faith, you know, his fingerprints were on every part of it. even the parts I didn't understand at the time, and now looking back and reflecting back, it's like, okay, you know what? Like, that wasn't me. And I think that's the old adage of, hey, this is what I did, and blame God for the things that didn't go your way, when you need to really take a deeper look at that and flip it around. Okay, that's why I'm sharing this story, because it's my testimony, but it really isn't about me. It's about a God who takes brokenness and builds something incredible and beautiful out of it. So that's my testimony. It's short, and there's a lot more meat to it. And again, we'll get to them in different episodes, of course. But I'm a kid that grew up in, you know, the second most westernized country in the world, to move to the United States, and without much structure around my Hindu faith. I was a young man who, like, you know, lived sinfully, surrounded myself with the wrong people. I went through a journey of sobriety that opened the door to faith. You don't have to go through sobriety to get there, but it's a mountain where I met my wife, and that, and a cause that kind of gave me purpose. And through it all, God never gave up on me. I don't pretend to have any of this figured out. I don't even know what I'm doing here, right, on YouTube. But I do know this. God has been faithful, and my life is proof of that. Gosh, if you ask anyone that knew me 15 years ago or 14 years ago prior to my, you know, getting in on this path, and I have some friends that, you know, I've retained through that, they'll tell you I was a different person. But if this story encourages you, look, I ask you to subscribe, share it with someone who might need to hear it. And remember, your testimony matters too. Okay. So I love y'all, and see you guys in the next one.